Welcome back. We've got Jim Sarantinos, the Parramatta Chief Executive, coming up shortly. Also today for Team List Tuesday, remember there'll be no James Tedesco or Sam Walker for the Roosters against the Knights due to the 11-day HIA stand down. So that's certainly a blow for the Roosters. And, of course, it's Michael Jennings' 300th game, and he won't be receiving official NRL recognition for that. So Andrew Abdo saying it's due to past conduct. And that controversy, of course, stems from a civil court in 2021 finding that he sexually assaulted his ex-wife on four occasions and was ordered to pay $500,000 in damages that have yet to be paid. And Trent Robertson says he understands the decision while also saying he's proud of what his club can do for players, in this case helping the 35-year-old get back on track. But it's a slightly awkward occasion, isn't it, on Thursday night when the Roosters play the Knights. We've got Pup back joining us from Mumbai. So what's going on today, Pup, in Mumbai over there?
I'm actually not sure what the game is tonight, Minnow. It's 3... What time is it? 3:39 a.m. Over here. I'm in studio today, so I'm not at the ground. So I'm sure I'll find out when I get there. But, yeah, there's a game, at least one game on every day. Lots of cricket being played. Lots of good cricket, actually. I've got to say, the talent that India continues to produce, some of these young superstars, you know, young quicks bowling 155Ks, some of the talent with the bat. Geez, I tell you what, we're in for a cracking summer. If both teams are fully fit, Australian summer next summer is going to be an absolute beauty. So, yeah, I've enjoyed it so far, mate. It is busy, lots of late nights and travel, but the cricket's been good.
And we mentioned him earlier this morning, but Mayank Yadav for this tall Indian quick, so who burst onto the scene, and straight away it was pondered that he'd probably be on a trip to Australia at the end of the year as part of the test squad, and it'd be interesting to see what he could do on Australian conditions considering he bowls at around 155Ks. But he has an injury now, Pup.
Yeah, he's got a side strain. Did the game the other night. He bowled one over. And that one over was about 140Ks, and he went off the field. We thought he might have tweaked his back, but come back, he's got a little side strain. So I reckon he'll be out for at least 10 days. Yeah, he's young and fresh, really whippy arm action. If he gets it right, I think he's going to be a superstar. But again, he's young. You know, look at what happened to Paddy Cummins at the start of his career. He went through so many issues with his back and his body, just to try and get himself as strong as you need to be able to bowl quite fast. So he's going to have those challenges ahead of him. And again, there's a big difference between test cricket and one day cricket, and 2020 cricket, sorry. So at the moment, come in, bowl as fast as you can for four overs is very different to coming to Australia in a test match and bowling 25 overs, for example. But I'd like to see him fully fit and certainly play that first test at the Wacker. It'd be exciting. I think everyone loves a fast bowler. And I said earlier this morning, it's been a while since we've seen somebody sort of come onto the scene and bowl, you know, 155, 160. We had a good crop years gone by. Shoaib Akhtar, Brett Lee, Sean Tate, these type of guys. And I think if we can get someone or a few players from around the world bowling high speeds, it's always entertaining.
We are going to speak to Parramatta Chief Executive Jim Sarantinos shortly, and it's a massive game for Parramatta this Saturday. They've got the Cowboys, and the Eels are back at home at Combank Stadium, and tickets and membership packages are available via paraeels.com.au, paraeels.com.au. And joining us now is the Chief Executive at Parramatta there, Jim Sarantinos. Jim, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, morning, Jared. Well, thanks, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you, and appreciate your time. 2-3 start to the season on the field for the club in the NRL, and a 41-8 loss to the Raiders the other night. Considering, I guess, Mitchell Moses' injury, to what extent have on-field expectations changed?
I'd say they haven't changed at all. We came into this season expecting to play finals. I guess every team, probably more so than in most years, has suffered some challenges with injuries early in the season, and it's probably unreasonable to expect that you'll go through a full season unscathed. Obviously, the loss of Mitch and also Bryce Cartwright's been out for a couple of weeks. He had a great start to the season himself. He's something that we haven't dealt with as well as we could have over the last couple of weeks, and we're just going to have to do a better job of that moving forward to get back on track.
Jim, I wanted to ask you just about supporting your head coach, and I'm not speaking just for Parra, but I feel like every year we see coaches under serious pressure, even though they're on long-term deals. They just, you know, a few losses and their job company, you know, is in the spotlight. They're under pressure every single time. We're seeing it with South at the moment. I feel like, how hard is it as a CEO to not read into the stuff that's in the press and not, you know, not cave into that consistent media pressure and keep the faith with your head coach?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting question, Michael. I'd say I'm in my fifth season as CEO, and I'd say at the start of my tenure, it was probably harder. You kind of got to learn how to deal with that. But as I've sort of become more experienced as CEO, it just becomes really apparent that you've just got to focus on what's happening in-house. And there's a lot of noise. The media's job is to create interest and debate these issues, irrespective of whether there's validity to it or not. But our focus needs to be on what's happening on the inside of our club. And Brad's our coach. And whether it's your head coach, whether it's your players, whether it's your staff, our job is to provide the support that we can to everybody in our organisation to be successful. And to a degree, you have to block out anything that's happening externally, because if you focus on that too much, then you kind of lose sight of providing that support. So the key thing for us is we haven't performed well over the last couple of weeks. I think everyone would acknowledge that. So what we have to focus on is, what can we do? And that's primarily Brad and the players, but what can we do to support them to make sure that we get our season back on track?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Jim, to see what Brad does, because it hasn't been working since Mitch left the field, in particular that halves combination. And when I'm looking through the New South Wales Cup results, I see Parramatta at the bottom. They haven't won a game. So is there a concern about depth, or are you disappointed with obviously what they're doing at the moment? And how's it all sort of marrying up, the reserve grade and your first grade stocks?
Yeah, look, I think, Laurie, it's obviously a valid question. Our New South Wales Cup team has got a number of young players in it. We won the SG Ball competition last year, so we've got a really great crop of kids that have come through who are still 18 or 19. And I guess a number of those have been given an opportunity to probably take a step up and play at that cup level together.
Yeah.
They'll have an exciting future at the club, but you would know a hell of a lot better than me. It probably takes time to even take that step up to a couple of levels into New South Wales Cup, where you're playing against men, you're playing against people who've been in the game for a long time. And I think if you look back at our results, we've actually been in a position to win a number of those games, but just haven't been able to finish it off.
Yep.
So, and I think that will come with experience. So it has been a rough start, but I think at the same time, we're providing an opportunity to some of our young talent to probably build on their experience.
That's one of the advantages, I reckon, if you do it well. Parramatta having a big junior base, and we've seen with Penrith, but I think that's one of the advantages you can get in this game if you have a good junior system, a good pathway system coming through. And I think by listening to that, is that where your sort of focus, not has been, but will be?
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably going back 7 or 8 years ago, where there was a lot of chopping and changing at the club, there probably wasn't a right focus. The appropriate focus probably wasn't given on the pathways.
Yeah.
We've really resharpened that focus over the last 4 to 5 years. And as you know, you're not going to get immediate results with things like that. It will take time. But over the last few years, we've seen a number of young kids come through. Will Penasini and Sean Russell are established first graders. We've seen Blaze make his debut earlier this year. All kids who have come right through our ranks. And, I mean, Penrith seems to have got the model right. and they've invested heavily in their pathways. Unfortunately, they've got the jump on us, but we're certainly looking to emulate that model because it's really important that we have people who come through our grades, feel a connection to our club, and play for our club with passion. So having as many young players coming through your system that can do that is only going to hold us in good stead in the future.
I know you don't pick the team, Jim, but there's a story on the back page today about young Ethan Sanders. I just want to ask you about him and his future, because he has been linked to other clubs. Are you guys still actively trying to keep him at your club, or is it a foregone conclusion that he'll leave at the end of this year?
Look, no, it's not a foregone conclusion. He obviously is unable to negotiate with other clubs until after round six, which is obviously coming up very soon. But we would love for Ethan to stick around. At the same time, we understand that young players are always going to be looking for an opportunity. And we do have Dylan and Mitch at the club longer term, but we think Ethan can learn a hell of a lot from playing behind those players. And I think, as we've seen, Mitch is out for an extended period of time. At different points in time, our halves have missed time during the year and the opportunities will come. So we'd certainly love for Ethan to continue his career at the club, but that'll ultimately be a decision for Ethan and his family and his manager.
We're speaking to Parramatta Chief Executive Jim Sarantinos. And Jim, are you expecting Zach Lomax to be working for your organisation next year?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Would I like for Zach to be at our club? Yes, absolutely. I think it's probably been pretty well covered that we've got a strong interest in Zach, so I can't really shy away from that. Zach's a great player. He's obviously looking for a change. And we'd love to see Zach playing in the blue and gold from 2025.
Big challenge for the team this weekend, though, Jim, taking on the Cowboys, who have been in good form. You're back home at Combank Stadium. It'd be nice to get a win up for your fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, our fans always turn out in big numbers. We sold out two of the first three games this season and had a good turnout against Manly as well. We owe it to our fans to put on a better performance this week. The Cowboys have obviously started the season well. They score a lot of points. So I'm sure Brad and the team are going to be very focused on how we counteract that and how we put in a stronger showing this week to get our season back on track.
Jim, I know you had to put in your
submission. Jim, I see next week. Sorry, Millie, go for it, buddy.
No, Jim, you had to put
in your
submission.
I was just going to say, Jim, I see you guys are taking another game to up to Darwin again, mate. How significant is it to keep taking footy up to the NT?
Yeah, look, I think this is going to be the 10th time that we've taken a game up to Darwin. And there is a great following there. We've sold out each of our games the last four seasons up there, which is terrific. And we've built a bit of a connection with the community in the NT. Look, I think it's obvious that AFL is probably the most followed and participated sport, but there is a strong following of league up in the NT, and it's a great opportunity for us to sort of go away together as a club. It gives an opportunity for a lot of our members, our fans, our sponsors to get along and enjoy that experience away from home. Over the period, we've had a great record up there, but last couple of years, not so much. So we obviously need to reverse that when we take the Dolphins up there in a couple of weeks.
Jim, can I ask about the Vegas experiment this year, which was such a great success, and I was lucky enough to be over there. Club's thoughts on going there next year, is that a high priority, or is it something that if it came along, it just came along?
Yeah, look, we've put in an expression of interest. I was over there as well, Laurie, and I think probably in my time, the one thing that rugby league has done that everyone has been positive about. I thought it was a really great experience. I think it galvanised the game and probably provided a great kickstart for the season back home. But look, we have put in an expression of interest. We would love to go. I think... I'd love to provide that experience for our players. I think the players that went across this year all seem to enjoy it. And again, an opportunity for our fans to experience something different and unique. So we're certainly keen to be part of 2025. And I guess the NRL's got some work to do to work out who those four teams are going to be.
Have they given you an indication when that decision will be made?
I think they are looking to make that decision relatively soon.
Right.
Hopefully within the next couple of months. And obviously, the more lead time you've got to plan for these types of things, the easier it is to secure facilities and work out all the different logistics for your players, your staff, your fans, your partners, etc. So I think the NRL is looking to lock that in pretty soon.
Now, of course, Combank Stadium, one of the great facilities now as far as stadiums are concerned. And there are some other clubs out there. Well, the West Tigers looking at their own stadium arrangements. And you're very much the primary tenant. But if the West Tigers wanted Combank usage more often, how would Parramatta feel about sort of a joint tenancy arrangement?
I know the Tigers. The Tigers have played games there in the past. The Dogs have as well. I think the Panthers will play a handful of games next year. That will always be our home, and I don't think no one can ever tell me anything different. It's a great facility. We're blessed to have that as our home ground, and I think the more games that can be played there. I think the better off rugby league will be. I wouldn't want them to be playing all of their games there, but if they played a handful and that was better off, if that made the game better off as a whole, I wouldn't have any objection to that. And that's because I know that that will always be our home and everyone will know that that is the Parramatta Eels home.
And speaking of great facilities, the new Centre of Excellence at Kellyville, how's it tracking?
Yeah, it's tracking really well. We're about 6 months into construction. We're due to complete in March of next year. So we're just under 12 months away. And the construction's progressing really well. It's going to be a great facility, not just for our club, but the wider community. It'll allow us to have all of our football programs, male and female, from the senior programs within our elite pathways all the way through to NRL and NRLW, in the one location. But the unique element of it is that there will be a really strong community aspect to it. We'll have junior league clubs that will call this their home. We'll use this as a match day venue as well for some of our second tier and junior rep football. So once it's all said and done, it's going to be the biggest rugby league facility in the Southern Hemisphere and it'll be a great home for our club for generations to come.
Will it have a barber shop?
Not sure. I don't have much hair, so it doesn't really. It's not something that's on my radar.
He was having a go at you there too, Jim.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
no, I just know Gutho will use it.
I'm sure the boys will appreciate it more than I will. So,
hey, Jim. Sorry, mate. Can I just ask you about your women's program? How much significant growth have you seen over the last couple of years and year on year? How much more interest is there, and the numbers? How have they grown?
Yeah. There's probably two big things that really stand out, Laurie. From a female participation in our junior league, it's enormous. I think two or three years ago, we had a couple of hundred girls playing in our junior league. The numbers now are close to 1,000. So it's almost five times more than what it was three or four years ago. And then the other part is just the size and scale of our football programs. When you go from our development squads all the way to our NRL and NRLW team. When we were planning this facility 4 or 5 years ago, we had 6 football programs. We now have 16. And a big part of that is our women's program, where we've got NRLW, we'll have a team in the Harvey Norman Women's Premiership, under-19s, under-17s, development squads. These are all programs that didn't exist 4 or 5 years ago. So it's grown a hell of a lot. And I think it just mirrors the level of interest in women's rugby league and women's sport generally.
Yeah. And is all that funded by the NRL? Is it funded by clubs? Is it funded by... How do you pay for it all?
It's a bit of a combination. I mean, each of the clubs competing in the NRLW receive a grant in the same way that the clubs receive a grant for their NRL programs.
Yep.
So that goes towards, I guess, funding our player salary cap for NRLW teams, as well as some of the coaching staff and football resources. But pretty much every other dollar that's spent below the NRLW level is completely funded by the club.
Right.
So that's been a big investment by us, but we see it as an area of importance, and we're focused on really growing the women's game, and just getting as many young girls interested in our game as possible, whether that be playing, whether that be as a fan.
Well, Jim, we really appreciate your time this morning.
No problems. Pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Give us a call, 1353 53 on the text line, 0419 767 272. We just spoke to Parramatta Chief Executive Jim Sarantinos. Loz, he said early in our chat that the expectations is finals this season, and that hasn't changed. Time will tell what the consequences are if that isn't achieved this year. But coming off a grand final in 2022, no finals last year, you would think surely no finals this year would be unacceptable, considering especially that statement, despite the fact that Mitchell Moses is out, no expectations have changed at Parramatta.
Oh, no, I think that's what every team starts the season off with, a high expectation to play finals football. You're always going to get a run of injuries at some stage, and it's the way you handle them. Unfortunately for Parramatta, it looks as though the one player they could ill afford to lose is Mitch Moses, by the way they've played the last 2 weeks. But they've got time to turn it around. They're what, 2 from 5. They win this weekend against the Cowboys, and it's a 50% start to the year. So I still think their team is a very good side. I left Parramatta out of 8. Parramatta were one of those sides where it wouldn't have surprised me if they played finals football and made top four or missed altogether, because I was unsure of what they were going to produce this year. But I knew their best is good enough, but their worst is not great. And I think we've seen the worst over the last 2 weeks. So they've got to improve out of sight. But the Cowboys themselves, I don't know what to read of the Cowboys. I know they're winning games, but some of their games I just haven't been impressed. And I know you just have to win. So I think coming down here to Sydney against a desperate Parramatta side, we might get to see the best of the Cowboys this weekend.
They were particularly good. Was it against the Dolphins in round one? You thought, gee, they look really,
the Dolphins
really strong.
Were dreadful. Poor. And then they've since bounced back, the Dolphins. But they've had their moments, haven't they? Like, as I said last week, against the Titans. Titans were coming to get them at the end.
They certainly were. Now, the market for that game, that's the 5:30 game on Fox League on Saturday. Parramatta, $2.30, and the Cowboys, $1.62. 3.5 is the line there. Parrot, the plus. Clarkie's joining us from Mumbai. He's had an all-nighter. What time is it now, pup? It's nearly 4 a.m.
Yeah, except I'm sober, unfortunately. Yeah, I have had an all-nighter, a sober one. Yeah, it's early mid-o, but all good over here, mate. Following the Aussies closely, trying to get a read on Mitch Marsh's injury. He's out at the moment with that hamstring, so don't know how bad that is. A few guys under pressure. Cameron Green under a bit of pressure. Mitch Marsh, obviously. Starkey, they lost. KKR lost last night to Chennai. He's under the pump. Even punter a little bit, because Delhi had a bad year last year. So he's the coach of Delhi. If they have another bad year this year, it's like that over here. There's just, they don't care if you're a good player or a good coach. It's all about results. So yeah, a bit of pressure on the Aussies at the moment.
With the contract situation, is it like a normal contract? If you sign for 3 years, you're there for 3 years? Or can they just go, after 12 months, go, mate, we're paying you out, see you later?
Nah, I think there's only I think it's 4 players. Oh, actually, I don't know the number, Loz. There's a certain amount of players you can keep. So you go into an auction. I think there's a main auction every 3 years, and you can hang on to 4 players. Every other player has to go back in that auction. But you see players come and go. Certainly the players that are off contract, they come and go each year. But no, if you sign to it, if you're one of those players that's held on at in that big auction for 3 years,
yep.
then you stay at the team. But that doesn't guarantee selection. Like, it's Mitchell Starc's the highest paid player by a distance. If he doesn't take wickets, they don't mind dropping him.
Hmm. But then if he goes back into the auction next year,
Get picked up for that money.
He won't get picked up for that money again.
No way. Yeah. Well, look at. I think the other thing as well. I think it's like the timing when you're in the auction is so important that plays a big part when your name gets drawn out. That plays a significant role in how much money you get paid. Because if a team, say for instance, a team have their eyes set on two or three players. And those two of them have already been bought. That third player, they'll go as hard as they possibly can to get that third player. So you also see certain teams bidding for people just to bump their price to take money out of the other team. But if you want someone here, mate, they'll spend whatever to get them.
We mentioned it earlier this morning, but certainly the Tigers, well, particularly Balmain. The old Balmain contingent, mourning the death of Keith Barnes, Sunday night, aged 89 years of age, a club legend playing there in the 50s and 60s, has a grandstand named after him at Leichhardt, played for Australia, and post his career became a very prominent administrator, and the tributes certainly are flying through. There's been a few people mentioning it on the text line this morning as well, and was noted particularly for his goal-kicking laws. 14 tests for the Kangaroos, and just a couple of weird sort of unfortunate things with his career. So I think he finished in 68, and of course Balmain famously won that grand final against South, wasn't it, in 69? And he was the Tigers' chief executive finishing up in 2004. And of course they won the comp the next year as the West Tigers in 2005, but leaves an enormous legacy, particularly for the Balmain club. And you knew him personally as well from, well, his time. He was manager, wasn't he, on the 1990 Kangaroos tour?
Yeah. No, Keith was a wonderful man, very considerate, very passionate about the game, a true gentleman, and loved the game of rugby league. And not only did he love his Balmain, but he loved all the teams that he was associated with at rep level. And we were lucky enough to have him come away with us in 1990 as the manager. He had a great relationship with a lot of the Balmain players, obviously, back then, in the likes of Benny and Blocker and Ciro, who were on that tour. And it was sad news yesterday when it came through, because he is an NRL Hall of Famer, former Kangaroos captain and Balmain legend, and he had great success. And not only was he a wonderful goal kicker, but general play wise, he was so good. And there was people that know Keith a lot better than me that would be very sad yesterday when they heard that news.
Mm. And Blocker has always spoken very fondly of him. He will be on the show naturally on Thursday, and no doubt will have a fair bit to say about Keith Barnes. Give us a call, 1353 53 0419 767 272, on the text line. And obviously, Souths have gained a lot of attention today and this weekend. The Eels, but of course the Titans lost this 0-4 start under Des Hasler there. Interesting, look, Justin Holbrook, he was 6-7 when he was let go last year. Not, Des obviously needs time. He needs to enact a lot of change at that club. Clearly, some systematic change. But again, it goes to show sometimes, maybe careful what you wish for when you think that Justin Holbrook was 6-7 there last year. But this is a big job that Des Hasler has there in turning this whole situation around.
He's got a massive job in front of him, Desi. And the reason why the Titans selected Des is they thought they had a squad there that should have been doing better. So Des has gone up there with the brief of taking this team to play finals, because that's what the expectation was. They've started terrible. They are playing not great football. They've got a lack of confidence. At stages last week, when Townsend got sent to the sin bin, they sort of fancied their chances a little bit, but then that went very quickly when they got back to 13-13. But you just don't know where the next win is coming for, and was injured in that game. Don't know whether he'll be available for selection this week, but I don't know whether young Tanner Boyd is playing great footy at the moment. Well, he's not playing great footy at the moment. You know, do you move him this week? If Foran was available, I think I'd go Foran and Brimson in the halves, just to give them something a little bit different. Tino's a massive loss for them. They got Canberra this weekend, Sunday night in Canberra. That's a difficult road game going on what Canberra did last week to Parramatta. But the same challenge will be there for the Raiders this week to back it up.
These are the games you get nervous about as a Raiders.
Most definitely get nervous about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Desi is a wily old coach and he'll have them ready. But whether they're good enough or not, we're about to find out.
And the market for that one has the Raiders $1.30 and the Titans are $3.50. So 10.5 is your line there. Gold Coast the plus for that one. The 6:15 game again on Fox League on Sunday evening. You can't be far away from some 2 o'clock Sunday games. I like that slot.
Oh, 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock is the best.
Hmm.
Because otherwise you're waiting around. 4 o'clock's a long time to wait around on a Sunday afternoon.
And all your favourite shows are generally on Sunday night, Loz.
They are too, Mido. Mm. They are. But I'll tell you what. I think this is the last one. And then we move around 7. I think we go back to the 2 4 o'clock kickoffs. So this is the last one this weekend. Some of the games this weekend, when you look at them, and it's easy to say, South and the Sharks, that's going to be the most talked about and focused in-on-game this weekend because of the ramifications, you would think. But what other game stands out here?
What, as far as pressure is concerned? I mean, the Warriors Manly game's a cracking game. Two contenders.
I think that's a really good game, Mitter.
3 o'clock Saturday.
Yep, and it'll be hopefully good conditions. Both teams coming off impressive performances. I think both these teams can win the comp on their day. I think both these teams have the ability with the football. And I reckon the Warriors, while they lost that first game to Cronulla, they should be, you know, 4 from 5. And they play a good brand of footy.
And that game is in Auckland, 3 o'clock Saturday our time. So the Warriors are $1.52 or -5.5 with Tab Manly $2.55. Clarkie's Tigers, no Lockie Galvin again. This is the second week of his suspension.
Who the Tigers got?
They got the Dragons at Campbelltown, $1.80 and $2. Very tight market for that one.
Oh dear. I don't know. At this stage, I'd like to see the teams. I'd like to see what Shane Flanagan does with his team. The Tigers, I thought they were okay against the Dolphins at different stages. They've surprised me, the Dolphins.
Well, after round one.
Well, round one, I had them finishing bottom four and now they're sitting on top of the competition table. Things change quickly, but they've got a tough game against the Broncos this weekend and no Farnworth, Flegler.
Flegler probably, I read a report this morning, you'll probably play Flegler.
Kaufusi won't play with without... when he injured that hamstring last week. So
yeah, Farnworth's out for about a month.
AC?
Yep.
Yeah. Flegler did his AC too, didn't he?
I don't think anywhere near as bad. Steve Hewlett, a very good morning to you. $10 million for the Winx filly yesterday. How shocked were you?
Very, very. you know, and you look at the history of these really good mares, you know, in the past. And anyway... let's hope she's, you know, she produces a star herself. You know, this filly turns out to be a star. But, yeah, I saw the footage and Debbie Peters, how emotional was she? What a weekend. Riff Rocket and then putting a hand up for that filly yesterday. But, look, Peter Tighe, the part owner of Winx, he's going to join me on the program. Also, we're heading to the Northern Hemisphere. Dubai Honor was back in the winner's circle recently. He races in Hong Kong in a few weeks' time. Of course, post-impressionist goes for a spell. But also, looks like the King's coming out in October. And I wonder if his horse is going to come out as well and race for William Haggis during that time. So we'll have news on that. Joe Pride, he's going to pay up to run that Chow Wolf on the weekend, or Kel Wolf, whatever it's called, in the Queen Elizabeth. I think the last horse to do it, to win the Queen Elizabeth, a three-year-old, I mean, was Intergaze for Rod Craig. Oh. He ran third in the Derby and then behind Ebony Grove, and then came out and won the Queen Elizabeth, beating Octagonal.
Yes.
So he was the last one to do it.
Okay. Great stuff. We'll catch you shortly, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
Coming up on Radio Tab. Now, Dave Stanley has been at Royal Randwick this morning because there's been track work with the Stars there this morning. How are you, DS?
Yeah, very good, Minnow. A beautiful morning here at Randwick, and got to see some nice horses go around. I tell you what, a couple of horses that really caught everyone's attention. Firstly, Linebacker had a really nice gallop with Rhythm to Love in the... that was around 7 o'clock this morning, and Tommy Berry was in the saddle on Linebacker. He's a bit crook, Tommy. He's not riding today at Kembla Grange, so we didn't go near him with the microphone, but he's going to come on the program tomorrow morning. But it's one that's right there in the Champagne. And the other horse that galloped very nicely was Libertad, who goes around in the Arrowfield Sprint on the weekend. And, of course, it's the horse that suffered all that interference in its last start. And Annabelle Neesham was very glowing of the gallop of Libertad this morning. And we had also Learning to Fly have a spin around Royal Randwick, a number of Sydney Cup horses. So, and Early Doors, classic Kiwis this, J-Mac was meant to spin around on Orchestral for the press this morning, but got here in the midst of darkness to spin Orchestral around. Of course, she goes around the Oaks and then had to dart out to Rose Hill because he's got some very big rides on Saturday. He's going to join me a little bit later on the program too, because Via Sistina is a $2.10 or was a $2.10 favourite when I last looked in that Queen Elizabeth Stakes, Minnow.
Yeah, it could be a cracking Oaks if they all line up there on Saturday.
Well, this is really interesting. And it was discussed a little bit yesterday on Punters Post-Mortem about the scratching time of Zardozi. And much like Annabelle Neesham, who I spoke with earlier this morning, she sort of said that if they had, in hindsight, maybe they mightn't have scratched a few of their horses from Saturday, but they had to make a decision then and there. And obviously, they were seeing everything on social media and hearing everything and thinking, well, we don't want to run our horse. But the way that track improved, maybe they should have run. So maybe if the track... maybe just James Cummings line up Zardozi if the track improves the way it did in his mind earlier in the morning. But, gee, we get a great clash with these two. It's box office.
As it stands, soft six, courtesy of the ATC this morning. Soft six, the track. Well, here we go. The rainfall in the last 7 days now updated to 229.3 millimetres on that track. And yet here we are at a soft six. And, of course, that's pretty much since last, Thursday.
It's extraordinary. And we're going to have a barrier draw today. So for our listeners today, 10 o'clock, usually we have our previews and we would preview Ballina and Kembla today. That's going to be pushed back to 10:30, take note, because we're going to take the barrier draw for the Queen Elizabeth Stakes and the Sydney Cup. That will be after 10 o'clock. J-Mac, as I said, will join us. Richard Callender, Declan Bates, Pride of Jenny. We're going to talk to Declan about what this mare has done for his career here in Australia. John O'Shea will join us. Doug Gorrell. Now, there's a story, boys.
Yeah.
Doug was involved in that serious truck accident just outside Wagga. Trains that horse on the weekend to win a country championship. It's the biggest win of Doug's career. We'll have a yarn with him. And also, very close to your heart, Middo, the Orange Cup is not too far away. In fact, it's going to be Thursday week, or Friday week, I should say. Thursday night, there's going to be a big Calcutta. We're going to talk to Bree McMinn because that is Big Dance eligible, that race. And any trainers out there looking at their calendars and wanting to go to Orange to try and then get into the Big Dance, make sure you make your arrangements now because it's going to be a big, big day.
Geez, Wagga would be coming up soon too, wouldn't it?
Not far away.
Not far away. You going to the races on Saturday, DS?
Last Saturday I did, mate. I was floating around.
This week?
Yeah, I think I will. I think I'll duck out. It just...
Must have plenty, eh?
Must be good to have money.
Mate. Well, no, you know what, though? You can just come out and enjoy it, Loz. Worry about all that the Monday after.
Yeah, and how's the movement gone?
The moving's gone good. The moving's finished. You wouldn't wish it upon your worst enemy. It's awful.
Is Georgia happy with everything? Has she got everything sorted in the right position?
Everything. Yeah. Well, there's a few of those battles happening. There's still massive blow-ups about the second TV. The second TV in the office.
Yeah.
Just not a fan.
Doesn't want it.
There's issue. And then, honestly, I know that you guys have moved house a few times and whatnot, but, gee, you just accumulate some stuff that you don't
throw
need.
Throw it out.
And now I'm going through the stage where I'm finding electrical cords that I don't even know what they plug into, and I'm just, I don't know, yeah. So they could, might have a garage sale, Loz.
Oh, you make a...
The old garage
quit,
sale.
Mate, yeah.
They're not as common as they were, are they?
No.
I suppose because of things like Marketplace and Gumtree and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's right. Hmm. Well, there, let's bring them back. I'd like to see Loz have a garage sale.
I don't like throwing stuff out.
You a hoarder, Loz.
Most definitely.
What are you hoarding?
I just put stuff aside just in case I need it into the future.
See, I can't see, and I know Pup's there. Hello, Pup, to you, mate. Hope you're well. But I can't see you
champion.
Being a, I can't see you being a hoarder, mate. You're very much like, get rid of it and get something new. If something breaks, see, I could see Loz getting out the solder and trying to fix the TV. You'd be like, let's go straight down to Uncle Jerry's and get one.
Yeah. No, you got 2 weeks. That's all you got. If you're not being used in 2 weeks, it's time to pass it on. Give it to someone else or get rid of it, including clothes. I hate people like Loz. Loz has got the same pair of socks and jocks that he had when he was 14. He's still diving into them.
Tough
get
ground,
them out. They got holes in them.
No, there are no holes. They're clean, but there's no holes.
I've noticed, and I'm sure our listeners
same
will notice
this. Same pair of socks
this.
For 4 years, yeah.
Our listeners will notice this, Loz. I'll give you up here. You do have a favourite T-shirts that you run. You run the same shirts.
Yep. Most definitely Monday, Tuesday,
I know.
Wednesday,
the Indigenous
Thursday,
All-Stars coaching shirt.
Yep.
That gets a run regularly. And you'll see it on our social media posts. And I love that about you, though, Loz. You just get a nice shirt. You feel comfortable.
Mate, I don't have to impress anyone in here, do you?
I like it.
We figured that. 10 billion, Dave. How shocked?
Yeah, extraordinary. Yeah, you know what? I know that Steve said that he wasn't, you know, he was a bit surprised. That yesterday at the sales, that was this number, that like the number being thrown around was 7. So you knew it was going to be high. And I think this American chap, I don't know if you guys have heard any of the audio from him, but he... And seeing what he's been saying on social media, he's certainly a character. It's something that we're not used to, maybe with our Australian breeding, and maybe some of our owners who are quite, you know, powerful. They're not vocal, so to speak. Whereas this gentleman is, you know, he's proud of having a lot of cash and spending it, and wants to keep spending it, and wants to tell you he's going to go down and spend it. I mean, he was on radio yesterday saying that Melbourne radio. In fact, I was talking to Gareth Hall, who interviewed him. As we were doing punters post-mortem, and he was basically saying on air, Inglis have given me 10 million credit line, and I'm going to spend this, and I'm going to do this, and I've already spent, you know, 34 million, and that's just the beginning, and look out. Like, and that's something we're not used to. Like, you don't hear wealthy owners in our country, in our racing ecosystem, coming on and doing that. And maybe if they did, we'd be calling them, you know, something going, gee, have a look at this. What about this person? But it is just a different...
Has he just started this fella, or has he been in it for a long, long
he's
time?
He's only been in it 2 years. So he's obviously a very wealthy businessman. He has spent $99 million with Coolmore globally. $99 million. That's what was being thrown around on social media. And the other thing too, as well, before I know, let me go, and it's something just, again, we're not used to it from an Australian racing point of view. He obviously has some banter with some other big owners in America, and they're all active on social media, and they give it to each other. So he was coming out yesterday, late last night, this particular owner saying, you know, big thanks to Tom Magna, big thanks to Coolmore, America, Australia for, you know, looking after me, and you know, I just love it. And then this other wealthy owner who's, you know, very, very powerful, saying, yeah, well, that's what happens when you spend all the money with them. And it's all friendly banter, but it's something just so foreign. Like, you wouldn't see a big owner here in Australia teeing off at another big owner and creating all this theatre. So it might be something we have to get used to, boys. I'm tipping they're going to, the internationals are going to be here more and more often trying to buy our good horses and race their horses here. So, yeah, very interesting how it all unfolded at Inglis yesterday. A lot of history.
Have a good show, DS. Thanks, Pup, by the way. Get some sleep.
Thanks, team. Yep, will do.